This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jim Kelly joins us here on Sports Byline USA, has gone from the football field to the broadcast area. Jimmy, good evening to you. Good to have you back here on the show.
Well, thanks. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How difficult was it for you to make that transition from being a football player and having certain disciplines every day to going into broadcasting and having a different set of disciplines?
Well, I think, you know, football is pretty much, you know, the camaraderie in the locker room and going out there and having fun. And I think for me was, on the football field, I was very fortunate, I guess I could say, that I was able to call all my own plays and everything pretty much was in my hands. I had total control of the offense. And in the broadcast, you know, when I worked, it was, you only had so many things you could do. Everything was scripted. You had to make sure that you had your 30 to 45 seconds to do something. And it wasn't like too much conversational. It was more like you had what you had to say. You had to throw it to somebody. That person threw it to somebody. You knew what camera was you on. So it was different, but I'll tell you what, I was blessed. I had guys like Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, Sterling Sharp, Chris Mortensen. I had a bunch of great guys to work with.
Also, Jim, you had to audibleize on the field. You had to read defenses quickly and maybe change the play. Is it the same circumstance in broadcasting? Is there a similarity there as well?
Yeah, because at certain times during the course of a show, especially when you were going through a two-hour program, when it come near the end of the show, all of a sudden you're heavy 3 or 4 minutes. All of a sudden you had to start cutting things where you had something you were going to say. It was going to take you 30 to 40 seconds. All of a sudden they said you got 10, 12, 14 seconds to say your comment, and you find out like a minute before you're supposed to say it. So automatically you have to refocus your mind how you get your point across within that amount of time.
I think you may be interested in this soundbite from Tim Green, who was on the show. I was asking after he retired and his transition to broadcasting as well about athletes making the step from being a pro athlete to being somebody in the general society. Here's what he told me.
What happens, Ron, is you work your whole life to get there. It's a childhood dream, and it takes so much work and so much energy and so much passion to get there that it's very difficult to have anything left over to look at another goal, to look at another objective and say, okay, you know, now I'm going to move on to this. And the other difficult part about it is no matter what you do, after you're done playing football in the National Football League, you have to go right back to the bottom of the ladder again. If you go in to be a stockbroker, if you're going to go be in television or a writer, anything you do, you're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning. You're a neophyte. You're a rookie again. And that's a tough thing for a lot of guys to face.
I think it is tough, Jim. Don't you agree?
Oh, there's no doubt because, no matter what you do in life, you always want to be the best. You're used to being a star on your high school football team. You're used to being a star on your college team. And, of course, for some of us, it was nice to be stars of your NFL team. But once you get out there, you're no longer the football stud. Yeah, you know what you're talking about, but there's not many people that make it to the tip top.
How hard is it for a person to be a human being, be in a professional football, be a professional athlete, and also have to give so much energy, so much concentration, so much support, not only for a child, but for the rest of the family?
Well, it's tough, especially when you're playing in the NFL. And I was very fortunate that near the end of my career is when I got married. As a matter of fact, my last year, and I had my first daughter. And then, of course, after the retirement, I had my son, Hunter. No, so much time is spent on the football field and in the classroom trying to study and learn. I know at least when I was playing, I'd go over there at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd watch film. I'd have my meetings. I'd watch more film. I'd go to practice. I'd come home after practice. I'd eat dinner. I'd watch a couple more hours of film. And that was when I was single, and it would have been a lot tougher for me because especially my situation, because I did call my own plays, so I had to really be focused. I almost had to be like a coach out there. So for me, I guess it was fortunate I did settle down near the end of my career so I can focus the majority of my time on the football field and on what I was trying to focus on. And not for everybody, that hasn't been the case.
Jim, I've talked to a lot of highly skilled athletes who have told me that discipline that goes along with being a highly skilled athlete helps them deal with real challenges in life, one like you're facing, and others have faced challenges like this. Did you find that discipline, what you had to do as a pro athlete, also helped you being focused as well?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the discipline of, you know, trying to do your own as far as, in the everyday world, making sure that your family's taken care of. You look back and you realize what you had to do, how you got there, but more importantly right now is what you do about your family.
And I also think it brings balance to a person's life. I mean, everybody sees the athlete, the pro athlete, as having a glamorous life, but they're real human beings like everybody else, and I think it does bring a balance to the athlete to have to deal with real-life situations.
It is, and I know it's tough for some people out there to really look at professional athletes and celebrities as a normal person, but we try to do it. At least I know the majority of people that I know that, you know, have been in the limelight or play professional sports. You try to be the person that you were brought up to be. I know I was blessed to have great parents and instilled some qualities in me that I feel I try to give to my family. But, you know, at times you know that you're not looked at that way, and you try to be the person that you want other people to look at you like. I mean, I treat people how I want to be treated. And at times, yeah, you want to be just like everybody else as far as going out to dinner and not being bothered, but that just doesn't happen. But when people do come up to you, you have to look at it and say, hey, it's nice. At least people are looking at you, and hopefully that some of their kids may look at us as role models. So there's pluses and minuses to both sides.
Jim, it always brings up the question to me as we hear so much about the handful of athletes who have problems and do bad things, and I've always pointed to the fans that, look, you've got to give a lot of credit to the other athletes that are doing things you don't hear about. Does that upset the pro athlete that he doesn't get the type of credit for all the wonderful things that they do?
You know what, and this is honest. I mean, I've known Doug Flutie and Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino. We don't do it out there to make a name for ourselves. We do it out there for the kids. And, yeah, you do hear all the bad things, but I guess you try to hope that some of the friends that you know are not put in that situation or put themselves in that situation. And I think everybody owes it to themselves to try to help out the people that are less fortunate. We're very blessed to have the athletic ability to go out there and make the money that we make and be able to take care of our families. But realize there's so many families out there that don't have that support and that are suffering. And, yes, there are families that can do something about it. At least I know that I'm trying to help out. Boomer's trying to help out cystic fibrosis and so on and so forth. But I just hope and wish that there were more people out there willing to sacrifice some time of their own lives and realize how blessed they are and try to help out the other kids.
Jim, let's talk a little bit about quarterbacking. When you look at that position today in the National Football League compared to when you came in and started playing it, what are the differences between that position, if any at all?
Yeah, I think there are some. I think the game is a little is faster than when it was back when I first started. I think as time went on, it got to be to a position where they were blitzing the quarterback a lot, playing more zone defense, zone blitzing, that they try to confuse the quarterback thinking, okay, if it's going to be a blitz, it must mean it's going to be man-to-man coverage. And they drop guys off like a defensive lineman that they can do nowadays because a defensive lineman run almost as fast, as almost as quick as some of the running backs are. So they're able to do things like that, disguise different coverages, try to confuse the quarterback, because that's where the defense that's what the defense is all about now, confusing that quarterback, make him think that something's happening that really isn't, and force him into those errors. Because as we well know, the game of wins and losses is determined with turnovers. And nowadays, that what they're trying to do is pressure a quarterback, force him to make a key mistake.
I've not met too many dumb quarterbacks, and so I ask that question tongue-in-cheek with this in mind, and that is the fact that why don't they let quarterbacks call their own plays? Why is it just changing a play?
The thing is, I don't know many, and this is honest, I don't think I know many quarterbacks who would want that pressure put on themselves to have to worry about it. I think more quarterbacks would love the freedom to be able to audibleize when they want to, but to totally put an offense into a quarterback's hands, I bet if you pulled the NFL quarterbacks in the league, I think I'm not saying the overwhelming response would be that they'd want to. I think it'd be about 75-25 letting the coaches do the calling, because it does put a lot more pressure on you. A lot more studying goes into it. And in some quarterbacks, I'm sure, and I know there's quarterbacks out there I've talked to that feel more comfortable with the plays coming in from the sideline and let me audible to what I feel will be the best at that time. But with me, I knew what I wanted, and I wanted the reins in my hands.
Certainly one of the highly skilled quarterbacks in the NFL, Jim, is Peyton Manning, and he and I were chatting. I've known him since he was about 2 years old, so I've watched this kid grow up. And we were talking about one thing. I said to him, what's the one thing a quarterback really needs to do if he wants to be consistent and successful? And he talked about erasing negatives from his mind. How long did it take you, Jim, to get to that point?
Well, you know, it takes some time, because you're going to go through a part of your career where you're going to have three or four or five bad games, and you just have to be able to pull yourself out of that funk. And I've been always pretty good at forgetting the past and moving on. And my wife sometimes goes nuts when I do that because we get in an argument, and I'll say, yeah, forget about it. And, of course, I'll change the subject, and I'll be totally fine. She goes, hold on. I was like, no, forget about that. She says, where'd you get that from? I was like, hey, when you threw interceptions in the NFL, we have bad plays. You got to forget about it. Move on. Think about something positive. It drove her nuts.
Give everybody that website, Jim, if they want to get more information about Hunter's Hope.
Well, it's Hunters, and that's plural, Hunters, at huntershope.org.
Thank you very much. You are welcome back here anytime. Please don't make it so long between visits.
I hear you. You take care of yourself, Ron. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay. Jim Kelly, the former NFL quarterback, 13 seasons in the National Football League, went to 4 Super Bowls. We'll take a break, continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.